Good morning, everybody. Pastor Mike here with another Watchman Pure Bible Study, Revelation chapter 11. I saw something that I have never seen before in this passage. It just jumped out at me, is what it did. I want to deal with verses 7 through 12 and sort of look at this whole idea of their dead bodies in the streets, and they're going, woo, all right. Then I'm going to look at something that the Scripture says here that, to me, it was extremely interesting, and I think it connects with some of the other things that we've seen so far in our study. Revelation 11, verse 7, when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom, in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. We dealt with that last week. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations. People, kindreds, tongues, nations. That to me is interesting. Why does the Bible just go through this whole list here? Okay, they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations. Why is it doing that? Well, we count things in the Bible, or at least I do. And I see patterns that to me, sort of give definition and explanation to the message that God is conveying here. Not some super secret thing that no one could ever know, but it is something that God has put into the Scripture, I believe, to reveal how things are connected. In Ephesians chapter 6, I've read this several times. In fact, I've just started making notes. I probably shouldn't tell anybody. On a new teaching called the Fourth Kingdom. So I don't know when that's going to be, but we'll get there. All right. Anyway, it says, "For we wrestle not," Ephesians 6:12. "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So we know the four powers, the four spiritual, the program of the devil and all the devils being divided up into principalities, into powers, into rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. Then in the book of Daniel, chapter 2, I can't find it, but you know what it says, Daniel chapter 2, we have the fourth kingdom. It's different from the other three. In Daniel 7, we have the four beasts. The fourth beast is diverse from the other three. And the Bible always segregates out the fourth as being different. Look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They're the synoptic gospels. They are very, very identical in their format, in their sayings, in the history timeline, and everything like that. John's different. It's just a beautiful thing. In your DNA, you have adenine and... Let's just do it like this. In RNA, ribonucleic acid, which is one strand, you have adenine, which links with uracil, and then guanine and cytosine. When RNA becomes DNA, uracil is taken out, and it's replaced. The fourth one is replaced with thymine. Thymine's different. Okay, it's just neat how that works out. But here's something that I think could very well be in this passage. They of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations. Four. Because remember, in the fourth kingdom, these principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places, they mingle themselves with the seed of men. So that now man is a god. They're joined together. Now he has a beast nature. He is a beast. Although a fourth dimensional one, a spirit realm beast, he is now has the heart of a beast in him. And so they beasts have not natural affection. Although I know dogs and whatever, okay. But they don't have it the way you and I do. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. It is normal and natural for us, even in this wicked world that we live in. In the the elementary schools, the two elementary schools in Moore, Oklahoma, that were destroyed, and all those kids died in there. As wicked and sinful as America is, we buried the kids. Okay, we had a funeral service, some in churches, and we buried the kids. In this case here, their mind is so corrupt, and they're so far gone. This is just kind of what I'm seeing here from the scriptures. Their mind is so corrupt and so far gone that they're not allowing their bodies to be buried. And so I think that this is the reason it's telling the people, kindred, tongues, and nations. I think they have already been invaded at this time by principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. And they lack natural affection. And they that dwell on the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. Now, I have seen some, and I'll be honest with you, I kind of looked at it this way too. I don't necessarily believe it, but it's an interesting question. There are some who are speculating, and they do more than speculate. They actually try to calculate the time. Some who are speculating that this is Christmas, because they're rejoicing and they're making merry Christmas, and they're sending gifts to one another. Okay? Some people are using that to extrapolate then the date at which they feel that these the time of the two witnesses is going to transpire. So they go back from Christmas Day, they count back 3.5 years, and they say, here it is right here. I'm just going to leave that one up to the Lord. All right, I don't know yay or nay on that one. But then, and let me read some. There's about three passages of Scripture that I was looking at, and I just pretty much stopped that part of my study, and I moved on. And you'll kind of see why in a little bit. Psalm 35, verse 24. This is pertaining to everybody going, yay, they're dead. Okay. Psalm 35, 24. Judge me, O Lord my God, according to thy righteousness, and let not them rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, ah, so would we have it. Let them not say, we have swallowed him up. Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion. I like that word. You know what that word means? It means with fusion. Neat word. It's a very, very interesting word. Let them be brought to confusion together that rejoice at mine hurt. Let them be clothed with shame. Think of the opposites. Think of God's people being clothed in robes of righteousness. That's God's people. Here is the offspring of Satan. Here's the seed of Satan. And they're clothed not with righteousness, with shame. They have put on their God. They're now clothed with shame and dishonor, instead of being clothed with honor like the bride, that magnify themselves against me. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. There's a shouting there. Okay? That favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of a servant, and my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Jeremiah 50, verse 9. For lo, I will raise and cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of great nations from the north country. Always remember that one, because that's where Santa Claus is. It's in the North Pole. And it's where Superman's Fortress of Solitude is. It is where the great army is going to come from, the northern army is going to come from the north country. It is where all of those who believe or have speculated about a hollow earth, they all say that the portal to this hollow earth is up in the north. The Tool Society of Nazi Germany believed in this sort of nirvana type city called Hyperborea, which means hyper means above the Boreas, which is the Arctic Circle. The Arctic Circle, it's called Arctic because that's the word for bear, Arcturus. And the beast is a bear. And there's a lot of things there, but anyway, I digress. Come against Babylon, an assembly of great nations from the north country, and they shall set themselves in array against her. From thence she shall be taken, their arrows shall be as a mighty expert man, none shall return in vain. And Chaldea shall be a spoil, and all that spoil her shall be satisfied, saith the Lord. Because ye were glad, because ye rejoiced, O ye destroyers of mine heritage, because ye are grown fat as the heifer at grass, and bellow as bulls. See that? Heifers and bulls. Baal was always a bull. They worshipped a calf in the wilderness. And I think these people take on this spirit of the beast in them. Your mother shall be sore confounded. She that bare you shall be ashamed. Behold, the hindermost of the nations shall be a wilderness, a dry land, and a desert. Because of the wrath of the Lord, it shall not be inhabited, but it shall be wholly desolate. Everyone that goeth by Babylon shall be astonished and hissed at her place. And the reason why is because God says, you were glad, because you rejoiced, O you destroyers of mine heritage. You rejoiced at the wrong thing. That's what you did. Here are my servants. They're lying there dead, and you're rejoicing over it. Ezekiel 35:12. Thou shalt know that I am the Lord, and that I have heard all thy blasphemies, which thou hast spoken against the mountains of Israel, saying, they are laid desolate, they are given to us, they are given us to consume. Thus with your mouth you have boasted against me, and have multiplied your words against me. I have heard them. Verse 14, thus saith the Lord God, when the whole earth rejoiceth, I will make thee desolate. And as thou didst rejoice at the inheritance of the house of Israel, because it was desolate, so will I do unto thee, that thou shalt be desolate, O Mount Seir, and all Idumea, even of all of it, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. So, we have passages here that talk about how the wicked always rejoice over the calamities of the righteous. And so that's what we're seeing then in Revelation chapter 11. So they are all praising. They're not praising. They're rejoicing. They're making merry. And they're sending gifts to one another. Here, this is in honor of the dead prophets that are in Jerusalem, and they stink. Their carcasses have been there almost 4 days now. Okay? What a weird thing for the earth and all the people of the earth to go, all right, they're dead. And I think that's because that spirit of the beast has just taken them over. Let's go back to Revelation 11, because here's really what I wanted to get into. This blessed me, is what it did. Revelation 11, verse 13. The same hour there was a great earthquake. Now this is, let me go back to verse 12. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And this, after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them. They stood on their feet, and everybody went, uh-oh. And then they heard a great voice from heaven saying, come up hither, and they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. So let's look now at verse 13. After this happens, the same hour, was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. What city is that? Well, we have determined from the scriptures, it's the city that spiritually is called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. So it is, by definition, by Bible definition, that city is Jerusalem. So the tenth part of that city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. That is a lot of people. 7,000 people in one disastrous event in an earthquake. Now, look at what happens right after the men rise up and they go up into heaven. And the earthquake happens, and 7 1/10 of the city is destroyed, and 7,000 people are killed. Look at what happens in verse 13. And the remnant, very important word. The remnant were affrighted, and what did they do? Gave glory to the God of heaven. That just really jumped out at me, because if you examine in Revelation 11, when you look at the whole time of the ministry of the two witnesses, these people of the earth don't like them. because they're trying to hurt them, and they have power to shut rain off the earth. They have power to turn water to blood. They have power to smite the earth with plagues as often as they will. And these people who at one time hated the two witnesses, and then when they died, gave gifts to one another and rejoiced over that. Now we have a remnant in Jerusalem that is affrighted, and now they're giving glory to the God of heaven. That, to me, it means something. It just stands out to me. And then it says, the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. That's from Handel's Messiah, by the way. The Hallelujah chorus, that's where that comes from. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. And we know that right here at the sounding of the seventh angel, that is when God begins to initiate pour out His vials of wrath upon the earth. He does so upon the beast and upon the people of the earth, and so on and so on. Now, I'm not going to get into this whole idea of when the seventh trumpet is. As I explained earlier, there is a question in my mind. It's a legitimate question of when exactly does the seventh trumpet sound? I don't know. I believe with all of my heart that the translation of the church is related to these seven trumpets. Paul specifically saying the last trump in 1 Corinthians 15. And I have to stick with Scripture. I have to follow what the Bible is saying there. All right? And you can say, well, Hoggard, you're an idiot. You don't believe this. You don't believe the pre-tribulation. You don't believe this. I'm getting used to the name calling. Okay? But what I want are firm, definitive, biblical answers. Not how some guy twists it to make it look like this, and oh, you got to do this. I want to know what this Bible says. And until I see it from the Scriptures, until God gives me the answer from the Bible, it's going to remain a question in my mind as to when this event happens. But anyway, here's something that I know this is what I know for a fact from Scripture, that at the time of the catching away, being caught up of the Gentiles, of the Gentile believers, those who are alive and remain at the coming of our Lord, I know that at that time, God is going to restore Israel. No doubt in my mind whatsoever. Look at the story of Elisha and Elijah. Elijah is taken away into heaven. Elisha receives his mantle, has a double portion. And there are just many types and illustrations in the Bible that present that to me. And too many to go into right now. But I want us to understand, when I saw this phrase, the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven, here's what I'm seeing here. I see here the beginning of the revival of the remnant of Israel. Because God promised that a remnant was going to be saved out of the 12 tribes. He promised that. And He's not going to break His promise. So with this word remnant, what I did was I just went through the Scriptures to pull these prophecies out that God was going to save His remnant. And I think right here in Revelation 11 is the beginning of that salvation, God saving His people. Let's go and look at the relevant Scriptures. 2 Kings 19, verse 30. This is in the days of Hezekiah the king. You'll find this chapter in 2 Kings. You'll also find it in Isaiah. I think it's like word for word. It's one of the two chapters in the Bible that are exactly identical word for word. This was in the days of Hezekiah, and Jerusalem had been shut up. The enemy had come in, and Sennacherib, I think is who it was, and he was trying to scare them out, trying to say, "You can't beat me." And then he was trying to starve them out. But what they didn't know, what Sennacherib didn't know, was that there was a revival in Jerusalem. And people were bringing in grain and sacrifices until they had to build storage rooms for them. They had so much food inside Jerusalem, it wasn't even funny. So when Sennacherib closed off the gates of Jerusalem, he's going, "I'm going to starve them out." And they're in there eating bread and lamb and everything like that. And they got plenty of water because they stopped up the well so Sennacherib wouldn't have water. It was just a beautiful story. And so anyway, here's the prophecy that was given, I think, by Isaiah at this time. "And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall yet again take root downward, bear fruit upward." Let's go to, I like to go to Mark, but let's go to Matthew, I think, Matthew 13. We have the parable of the seed and the sower. And it says that he that received, verse 23, "He that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit." And if you remember, the seed in the stony places, it receives it, but it's got stone underneath it, and it doesn't take root. So when tribulation arises, it just falls away. It's cast away and burnt. And this is the prophecy, and I think that it is linked to this parable that Jesus was teaching. "The house of Judah shall yet again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts, shall do this." I love this. Because I'm seeing here the remnant that were affrighted giving glory to the God of heaven. This is what I see here. This is the match that I think the Bible is trying to teach us. Ezra chapter 9. These were the people who actually were dispersed out of Jerusalem, and now they get to come back in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. So Ezra chapter 9 verse 8 says, "And now for a little space grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in his holy place." A nail. Think of someone who was nailed. A nail in his holy place that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. When your eyes are lightened, that means you're not asleep anymore. You're not blind anymore. Blindness in part has happened to Israel. Now he's going to lighten their eyes. Now they're going to be able to see who the real Messiah. They're going to, the veil of Moses is going to be lifted. And they're going to go, "That's Jesus under there. Because his face is shining as the sun." "For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this." A remnant. God's going to give them a little reviving. He's going to lighten their eyes and give them a little reviving in their bondage. A revival. Being brought the dead son of the Shunammite woman, sneezing seven times, being brought back to life. Man, I love that. That's so beautiful. And then Ezra in 9:14, the Bible says, "Should we again break thy commandments and join in affinity with the people of these abominations? Wouldest not thou be angry with us till thou hadst consumed us, so that there should be no remnant nor escaping? O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous, for we remain yet escaped as it is this day. Behold, we are before thee in our trespasses, for we cannot stand before thee because of this." And that, what Ezra was doing, he was confessing the sins of everybody. We sinned. God, we need forgiveness. We want to be that remnant people that follow after you. So you look in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 7. This is what God said to Isaiah, through Isaiah. "Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers." Remember, outside, in Revelation 11, outside the temple, the court and everything, that's trodden under the foot of Gentiles. So it's overthrown by strangers. "And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, We should have been like unto Gomorrah. But see, God left a remnant. He wasn't utterly going to destroy. By the way, in the days of Elijah, and Elijah said, Lord, it is enough. Now please take away my life, for I'm not better than my father's. And God said, Elijah, look over here. I've got 7,000 people that have not kissed Baal. Now, I don't know if that's a relation to the 7,000 that were slain by the earthquake. But there was a remnant. God was showing Elijah that there was a remnant. They're not all that. Nobody's been, it hasn't all disappeared. Some of these people that try to teach these new doctrines that they want you to believe, they also try to tell you that it's the whole realm of Christianity has been desolate up until the time they showed up, and now they're going to restore all this stuff. I've heard it from several of the Hebrew Roots people, Jim Staley in particular, who has made comments that in his vision that he had, he said this Jesus showed him that the house of God was in ruins and had been in ruins for years, and God was going to restore it, which that's contradictory to Scripture, because Paul said that the house of God standeth sure and has this seal. And so anyway, there are people who try to come out with this new stuff saying, everybody's got it wrong except me. I'm the only one who's got it right. I'm going to revive the true gospel of Christ. So anyway, there's always a remnant. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 20. It shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel, and such as are escaped of the house of Jacob, shall no more again stay upon him that smote them, but shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. And Jesus said, thy word is truth. The remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. For though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them, watch this, I like this, shall return. I'm going to show you something in a minute. The remnant of them shall return, the consumption decreed shall overflow with righteousness. God's going to render to her double for her sins. That's why in Isaiah 40 he said, comfort ye, comfort ye. They're getting the double portion of the Comforter, the Spirit of God. Isaiah 11, verse 10. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign or an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Now, that root of Jesse is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. It mentions at the very beginning of Isaiah 11, the root, the branch, the stem, the rod of Jesse, and he has the seven spirits of God on him, so we know that's Jesus Christ. Now, in verse 11, we see the connection here between Christ and this remnant. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people. In other words, he came down the first time to Jerusalem, Jerusalem. He said it twice, didn't he? To Jerusalem, Jerusalem. He wanted to save them. He wanted to bring them under his wings, but they wouldn't have it. And so he left, and now he's given salvation to the Gentiles. He's coming back, and he's going to restore the promises that he made to Abraham, their father. He's going to set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. I've been studying this for the last 15 years. I know that when some of the Protestant reformers, the Puritans, when they were coming from Europe to America, they were looking at passages in the Bible where the Bible talks about he was going to declare and publish the gospel to the isles of the sea and so on. And they felt like that God was sending them to America to publish the gospel. Because they were just reading that in the Scripture, and they had it in their mind that that's what that was talking about. And am I saying that that's absolutely? No, I'm not sure about that. But God said he's going to get them from the islands of the sea. You could look at it like this. Technically, Europe, Asia, and Africa and the Middle East are pretty much all joined by one giant landmass, even though we divide them off as continents. They're all joined together. Then there is some islands on the other side of the world, North America and South America. You know, almost completely surrounded by water. Am I saying that that's absolutely true? I don't know. But it's an interesting idea. You pray about that. But he said, and he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. And he calls that the remnant. He shall, the second time, to recover the remnant of his people. Here we have a remnant that is now giving glory to the God of heaven. Isaiah 46:3. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. They're born by me. I believe they're born again. And even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. The house of Jacob and the remnant of the house of Israel are going to be born again. They're going to be born by God himself. He is going to be their father. Jeremiah, and back up here, he said he's going to recover the remnant, back in Isaiah 11, from Assyria and from Egypt. Remember what God said about his son, Israel. I've called my son out of Egypt. Where did Jesus go when he was first born? Where did Joseph take him? To Egypt. Then he called his son out of Egypt. And Israel is his son. He's birthing them. And he's going to bring them out of Egypt, the remnant of them. Jeremiah 23:3. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise up unto David a righteous branch. There it is, right there. And a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Isn't that beautiful? Let me just throw this in here. The word Christ, C-H-R-I-S-T, 555 times in the King James Bible. All the forms of the word righteous or righteousness, righteousnesses, and so on, 555 times in the King James Bible. Beautiful. Love this book. The Lord, our righteousness. You see, in spite of people telling you that Israel's going to be saved by works in the last days, that's not true. Now, Israel, because God brought them again as a remnant, he's going to set a king over them, the righteous branch, and they're going to declare that the Lord is their righteousness, not what they do. Don't fall for that stuff. Okay? It's not biblical. It's not true. God has one gospel for all mankind, Jew or Gentile. Jeremiah 31:7. For thus saith the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout amongst thee shouting. You have trumpets and shouting among the chief of the nations. Publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the coasts of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and her that travaileth with child together as a travailing child. Think about that. A great company shall return thither. They shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Beautiful passage. I like the fact that the blind and the lame and the helpless women with child, and those that are travailing who can't do anything for themselves. I like that. I do. A lot of you are lame. You're blind. You can't. There are things you're weak. Things you can't do. And all the other people have cast you away and said, you're no good. God says, I'll take them. I love that. Ezekiel 14:22, yet behold, therein shall be left a remnant that shall be brought forth, both sons and daughters. Behold, they shall come forth unto you, and ye shall see their way and their doings, and ye shall be comforted. There's a Holy Ghost word right there, comforted, concerning the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem, even concerning all that I have brought upon it. Comforted. The remnant's going to be comforted. Joel 2:32, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. That's at the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. It's the remnant. The second outpouring, the trumpet, the shouting, all together. Amos 5:15, hate the evil and love the good and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. You know how you get, you know how you show graciousness to people? You give them grace. I believe the remnant is going to be saved by grace, not by works plus grace. Micah 2:12, I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozra, as the flock in the midst of their fold. They shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men. Micah 5:3, therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. Revelation 11, they're giving glory to God. Revelation 12, we have the woman giving birth. I think they're connected. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return upon the children of Israel. Now I'm going to show you, this is a neat passage. This is on my neat list. God showed me this several years ago, and I was putting all this together, and I'm going, I'm going to put that in there. I like this one. Oh, this is so beautiful. Listen to what Isaiah prophesied. Listen to what he said. Isaiah 6:12. The Lord have removed men far away. There be a great forsaking in the midst of the land, but yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return. And we saw that earlier. They're going to return. They're going to turn back to God. They're going to go back to God. And it shall return and shall be eaten as a teal tree and as an oak whose substance is in them. When they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. So the remnant is a tenth. Think of it like this. God blessed you with $100. What are you going to do? I'm going to give a tithe back to God. A tenth. Isn't it beautiful? A tenth is going to return back to God. That's what the tithe represents. The tithe represents the remnant of Israel returning back to God, the tenth. I want to show you what this looks like. God actually drew a picture of it in the Bible. I love it when God draws pictures. Luke 17:12. This is Jesus. And he, as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men. That were lepers. They're just covered with sin. Their sores are white, which stood afar off. See, Israel is afar off. See that phrase? Study the phrase afar off. Beautiful phrase. In fact, I may do that during a Pastor Mike online. Just look at afar off, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their, when Abraham took Isaac, his only son, to Mount Moriah, he's on the third day he saw the place afar off. Did you know that between Abraham and Jesus was 2 days, 2,000 years? So on the third day he sees it afar off. Same place. Anyway, which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, one tenth of them, the tithe, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet and gave him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God. That's what it says here. It says, where did it go? It says, and gave glory to the God of heaven. The remnant gave glory. There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger, the tenth, the tithe. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith. See, we're saved by faith, grace, and faith, belief, not works, hath made thee whole. Isn't that beautiful? I just putting this together, when I saw, and I'd read Revelation 11, I don't know how many times, and I never really paid attention to this remnant that were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. I believe that remnant is the tenth of Israel, the tithe, that's now ready to turn back to God and be comforted by Him and be restored by Him. Beautiful. I love it. I love the Word of God. I love the King James Bible. It is absolutely beautiful. The way God has laid this book out. It's miraculous. The language of this Bible. It's not been duplicated. It cannot be. No one has outdone the King James Bible. No one has ever. No translation even comes close to this beautiful, beautiful book. Just leave the words alone and let these words breathe life into your heart and into your thoughts and your musings about how God does things. God sets and establishes these patterns for us, and we just go, well, I see 10 men and I see one coming back. That's a tenth. That's what God said is going to return. A tithe always goes back to God. It's absolutely beautiful. God bless you. We are moving ahead. We're going to deal with next week. Let's see what we're looking at here. The kingdoms of this world. That's from Handel's Messiah again. And we're going to look at the last part of Revelation chapter 11. And then we're going to get into Revelation chapter 12. We're going to understand who the woman is, what she's giving birth to, and so on and so on. So study ahead. Study these things out in the Scripture. Don't read the websites and the books and everything like that. Study these things out in the Scripture. Use the Bible software, Pure Bible Search software. And when you see, different things in here. The time of thy wrath. Study wrath in the Bible. Study things that are destroyed in the earth. Study the temple of God. Just study those things out in advance of next week's study, all right? Anyway, God bless you. I love you. It's good to enjoy the study of the Word of God. God bless you. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.